Hey, my name's James Parker. I'm one of the elders at the church. My wife's Meredith. She's my favorite. And so for those of you that don't know me, that's really all you need to know, I guess. I'm so honored to get a chance to speak to you this morning. Thank you for allowing that opportunity. If you've got your Bible with you, we're going to be looking in Colossians chapter 3. And I'm pretty simple, so I see things in pictures. A lot of times, and so I'm going to talk today about five pictures from Colossians 3 about our new life in Jesus Christ. And so let me just kind of give you some background, and then we'll jump into the passage. It's got some great stuff in it for you. So Colossians was written by Paul, and like most of Paul's writing, it was written from a jail cell. Destructive circumstances can grow our faith in Jesus. Last week, Richard brought a great message on joy and contentment. And one thing that Scripture does connect is joy and contentment, but it does not connect those two things with ease and comfort. A lot of times, situations in our life are not going to be comfortable, are not going to be easy. That's not what Jesus promised. What he promised is he'd be with us. And so that's one of the things you'll see in there. The other thing we're going to see a lot in Colossians is Paul will talk about both our position in Christ, our position meaning where I stand because of what Christ has done. And he also talks about our practice of living in Christ. That's what we do in partnership with Jesus, walking and working together. Okay? You're going to read something that's going to sound confusing here in a minute, because it's going to say something like this. For you died to this life, so put to death certain things. Why? It died, right? Why am I putting it to death? Paul's talking about our position in Christ and the practice of us living that out. And so you're going to see that as we go through. I'm actually going to have you call out some of the stuff as we're reading it, whether it's position or practice. Final word of warning is this. You ever watch those shows that say, don't try this at home, kids? Normally, that's exactly what my kids were going to do, is whatever they shouldn't have tried at home, because there was some adventure in that. It's important that some of the instructions we're going to read today, that these were written to followers of Jesus. They were written to people who had placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who were in Christ, whom the Holy Spirit indwelt. And so, some of the things that we're going to talk about are absolutely impossible to do apart from Christ. They were never meant to be done without the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And so to try them without it is going to be frustrating. So that's my warning. That's the disclaimer. Now on to Colossians. I'm going to read you a couple of passages before Colossians 3 just so you can hear them and get some background. In chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, it says this. He, being Jesus, has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Position. Position. That's who I am. Because of what Christ has done. It's where I stand because of what he has done. Chapter 1, verse 21. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Position. Chapter 2, verse 12. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Say it with me. Position. There you go. Good. 2:13-15. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Position. 2:20 says this, you have died with Christ and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. Position. Those are all things Christ has done for you. Okay, so here's chapter 3. I'm going to read a lot and then we'll get into some picture stuff, okay? So hang with the words. We'll get there. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Position. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. There's the practice. There's the practice part of that deal. That's what I do because of the position. For you have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Position. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember that part where I said it's impossible to do without Jesus? Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it challenges us. Thank you that it's not easy. Thank you that we need you to fulfill it. And so, God, as we study your word today, would you make it clear? Would your Holy Spirit just bring forward those things that we need to hear? And God, would you speak to our hearts? God, we want an encounter with you more than anything else this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, five pictures of our new life in Christ. And the first one is Bluebell ice cream, okay? We're going to have an ice cream social. I told Pastor Meredith, I said, hey, listen, let's make sure we get Bluebell ice cream because I'm about to preach against Blue Bunny. And so it would be really bad if that showed up at the ice cream social right after that. Many of you know Meredith and I planted churches in Utah when we were young. And when we went, I love that picture. When we went, we took a family with us. And they got there and they were almost immediately homesick. And two things very specifically made them homesick because they could not find them in Provo, Utah. One was Shiner Beer, which church, so we're not going to talk about that. The other one was Blue Bell Ice Cream. You could not find Blue Bell Ice Cream in Utah, and that broke their heart. It was really a sad thing. On Tuesday nights was our date night. Meredith and I would drop Caleb off with that couple, and we would go out. We were broke. I don't know if you know this, but church planners make nothing. And so we were completely broke. We would go to a Mexican restaurant that on Tuesday nights had 2-for-1 all-you-can-eat taco bar. It was $6. We'd have water. We would get our 2-for-1 tacos. And with tip, we could be out of there for under $10. And then the parking lot it shared was with the Dollar Theater, which also had half-price movie night on Tuesday nights. So that was our deal. But this one particular week, it must have been an anniversary or something, because we wound up at Outback Steakhouse. And we were really excited about going to Outback. We were more excited when we looked at the menu and saw that their desserts were served with Blue Bell ice cream. And so we called the waiter over and we said, "Hey, is this true? Do you serve your desserts with Blue Bell ice cream?" He said, "Yeah, we do." I said, "Cool. How do you get your Blue Bell?" And he goes, "Well, it comes in these big tubs and we keep it in the freezer and then we dish it out." And I said, "Cool. I want to buy one of those tubs." He's like, "We don't do that. We don't sell it." I'm like, "Go ask someone. Surely there's someone that can sell me a tub of ice cream." So he comes back and he goes, "The tubs are 5 gallons. "Great. That's awesome." He said, "My manager says he'll sell you a tub of ice cream for $20. "Yeah, bring me two, right?" So that night after dinner, the entire restaurant was watching us as we walked out of there carrying through the restaurant a 5-gallon tub of Blue Bell ice cream. And we show up at the Heisman's house. There was a scream when the door was opened and they saw what we were holding. I'm relatively sure, I don't know that this story hasn't grown over time, but I'm relatively sure there were tears shed. I know for a fact that there was meat thrown away so there would be room in the freezer for Blue Bell ice cream, okay? Let me say this. If you find yourself sometimes a little homesick for heaven, it's probably okay. It's probably okay. You were created for a world that's not this one. The best thing the enemy can do sometimes is to create fakes in our life to give us some substitutes for things that we were really created for. So the devil created Blue Bunny. Don't settle for that. Keep your mind on Blue Bell. Keep your mind on Blue Bell. I think the reason Paul said to set your heart on things above is that's intentional. It's very easy for our mind to wander on all kinds of things, to be distracted by all kinds of things, to get focused on all kinds of things that were not the things that we were created for. We started off talking about comfort and ease, and it's real easy for us to pursue that, but understand that you were never really created for that. When you have a moment of comfort or ease, enjoy it, but you were created for challenge. You were created for purpose. You were created for growth. You were created to find yourself in situations that if Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit does not come through for you, you're in trouble. That's faith. That's living by faith. So set your mind intentionally on things above. That's what you were created for. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand." Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. A lake house is a great thing. I would love to experience that one day. But it's nothing compared to a mansion in heaven. Recognition for things that you've done well or that you've exceeded in is great. And I hope you get a chance to experience it. And I hope when you do, it points to your Savior and honors the Lord. But it's nothing compared to hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into what I promised you." Don't be fooled. Don't settle for the lesser. Ephesians 2:6 says this, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." By the way, your heart is going to long for that. Scripture says it this way. It says that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. When there are times where we've been far away from Christ, you'll find yourself yearning for it. Let yourself be homesick. Bluebell's okay. Blue Bunny's not. All right, that's the first picture. All right, second picture is this, hide and seek. Eileen, come on back up now. I'm not going to give you a mic this time because you're going to upstage me, but come on up here. Thank you, babe. Y'all know Eileen from a minute ago. She's involved with our youth program. She's a worshiper. She's pretty cool. I want y'all to take a really good look at Eileen. Okay? They're not as scary as they look, I promise. They have joy in their heart. They just hadn't let it out on their face sometimes. So it's all right. Okay? All right. Michael, you'll come up here too. Michael is Eileen's dad and also a really cool guy and also a worshiper. And a sound guy. Okay, now, Eileen, I want you to take one step back. I want you to stay right here. Michael, I want you to take one step my way. Okay? How's that look? Let's see. You can't peek out. Eileen is now hidden in Michael. Someone tell me what she's wearing. Rainbow Crocs? You guys have good memories. You have really good memories. Okay? And you might be right. We know what she was wearing a minute ago. But right now, if you're looking at her, you can describe a beard. Right? Because we have hidden her in Michael. All right, cool. I think they got the picture. Thank you so much, guys. Colossians 3:3-4 says, "For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." When your life is hidden in Christ, when God looks at you, what does he see? Jesus Christ. So how can he accept me in all of my brokenness, in all of my messed up decision making? It's because my life is hidden in Christ. When he looks at me, he sees the perfection of his own Son. That's the position of being hidden in Christ. When I practice that, when I practice my life being hidden in Christ and Christ being my life, things begin to happen so that when you look at me, you also see Christ instead of me. You might could describe what I used to look like, what I used to wear, but as I've walked with Christ, things have changed. And now, the way that I act, the way that I talk, the way that I think, all of those things are becoming reflections of Jesus Christ. And so now my life truly is being hidden in Christ. And even when you look at me, you start to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. That phrase, "when Christ, who is your life, is revealed," has just rattled around in my brain the last couple of weeks. We're in the middle of hockey playoffs. I love hockey. And one of my coworkers made this statement. He said, man, hockey's kind of your life. And I'm like, man, I don't want that to be what you see about me. I don't want that to be what you think about me. I love my family. They're incredibly important to me. I hope you don't think that family is my life. I hope you look at me and go, man, that guy wants to honor his family because Christ is his life. I want my life to be hidden in Christ. Hey, just a thought. This one's for free. We talked about the fact that you've died to this life. How hard is it to offend a dead person? Maybe when we find ourselves in a position of offense, instead of thinking so long and hard about what the other person did that was so offensive, maybe we should start with going, God, is there a part of me alive that you meant to be put to death? And ask God to reveal those things in us. Okay, so on the pleasant thought of death, here's the third picture. And some of you guys will know this movie and some of you won't, so it'll be lost on you. The third picture is this. Killing is my business. And business is good. I knew someone would know it. There you go. Colossians 3, 5 through 11 says this. So put to death, and this is the practice part, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now's the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You think God's serious about sin? Killing's a pretty serious response. And by the way, if you think that's just one time that you see that in Scripture, Jesus himself said this. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It'd be better to go through life without an eye than to lose your soul. Declare war on these things that do not belong to your new life. A couple of things from the list that they talks about death. So he talks about really two things. He's going to talk about stripping some things off. He's going to talk about killing some things. So the things he tells you to kill, first of all, sexual impurity, a counterfeit of what God created to be good in your life. Something that steals from you what God designed to be best. Impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, wanting things that God has not given to us or provided for us. Anger, rage, malicious behavior, an effort to manipulate situations and people, a desire to control. Slander, dirty language, and lies. The opposite of what we were called to do, to be ambassadors of truth in the gospel. See why God's serious about them? They're all designed to steal from us. Okay, fourth picture, changing clothes. We are just past spring, so we'll talk a little bit about spring cleaning your closet. About 18 months ago, I wore a 3X shirt and the buttons were straining a little bit. I was going to bring one of those shirts and put it on for you today, but they've all gone away from my closet. I don't know if Meredith's done it or I've done it, but they're all gone. So I'm not planning on going back to that. Let me encourage you that it may be a good time, even though we're past spring, to spring clean your closet spiritually, because there are some things that you've kept in there that don't fit you anymore, that don't look good on you anymore, and you've left them in case you ever decide you want to go back to them. And so when he talks about stripping things off and putting on new things that fit you in your new life in Christ, The picture is spring cleaning your closet. Don't go back to the old things. Colossians 3:12 through 14 says this, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and to become like Him. One of the things I loved in Richard Beatty's sermon last week, he talked about the fact that when you see someone who's got joy, they also have contentment. And when you see someone who's content, it's almost impossible for them not to have joy. Let me give you this picture too. If you take this instruction in Colossians 3 and you decide to clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, how easy is it going to be for you to keep on anger, rage, malicious talk, and lies? They don't go together. And so if you will focus on putting on the new in Christ, the other stuff doesn't fit with it. Fill your closet with those things. If you're struggling with one of those things in the first list, and it's really, really hard for you. And people say stuff like this. They say, oh, that's just me. That's how I deal with things. That's how I've been. That's just how I am. If you decide that doesn't fit any longer, it's not you, it's part of the old, why don't you pick something new to put on? Why don't you focus on that? Why don't you ask God to go, God, help me with this. This is what I want to be. This is who I want to be, because it reflects you. Fourth picture, changing clothes. I told you there were five. Here's the fifth one. Some of you are going to sing it. We are family. We are family. Colossians 3:14 through 17 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. You can go back to that picture if you want. That this was Christmas time, and when we started this picture, man, more people started popping in, and it just kind of grew, and I love it, because you guys are our family. I was telling someone, we enjoyed watching the service last week from the beach. It was awesome to do that, but it's not the same as being here and hugging your necks and hearing Joseph singing behind you, all of those experiences that occur when you're with family. And all right, back to the scripture. Colossians 3:14 through 17. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Here's the picture of that is let the peace of Christ be the umpire. Let the peace of Christ make the calls. When you're in a situation and you're not sure what's the right thing to do, and you're kind of trying to figure that out, especially when it's relationally, and there is an opportunity that creates peace that honors Christ, let that make the call. That's what we're going to do. That's the way we're going to go on that. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. I'm going to read that one more time. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. You have some great ideas, and some of you have really good ideas, and you've been through a lot of stuff, and so there's some stuff that you're going to hear, and you're going to be like, man, I know how to answer that. When we're talking to each other and we're encouraging each other, let's ask God for his wisdom. And let's make sure that that's what we're sharing. And if we get together and what we wind up doing is griping and complaining and it just kind of goes down that way, I can promise you we're probably not doing this. We're not going, okay, how can we teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that he gives? What Eileen did this morning was beautiful in that she took a scary circumstance that she was in last night and she allowed God to speak to her heart and not only bring peace to it, but bring encouragement and go, God will work through every situation to bring glory in my life to him and to bring me closer to him. That's how we need to encourage each other, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So as we close this morning, I've got really three encouragements for you. The first one is this. If you are not in Christ, let today be the day that happens. I want it to be so that when God looks at your life, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because you've realized that you're a sinner. You've realized that the things you've done have offended God and that there's no way for you to fix it. You can't do enough good stuff to outweigh that. The only thing that can happen is the righteousness of Jesus Christ can cover your brokenness and your sin. Holy Spirit can come into your life and empower you to live a different kind of life. If that's never happened, let this be the day of salvation for you. We'll have guys at the front, prayer ministers, that would love to pray with you and help you do that. There's water over there. We'll stop eating ice cream to come baptize you. Don't worry if that's what you want to do today. Let this be the day that you give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you have done that and you're doing your best now to walk through the practice of living out your new life in Christ. And there's an area in your life that's just a struggle. You know, it's just that thing that just keeps coming up and you keep struggling with it. And you want to decide, you know what, today is the day I'm going to decide. I'm going to put a stake in the ground and say, we're putting that to death. And you just want someone to pray with you and encourage you on that. Here's what I can tell you. Is that when Christ died for your sins, he bought for you the power for you to walk in victory. He bought for you the freedom from the power of sin in your life. But there are times that you need someone to help you walk through that and experience that freedom and pray for that freedom with you. And so if you need someone to do that, we're going to do that. It's not a place for judgment. It's a place to go, you know what? We all need Jesus, and we need each other. And so we're going to be there for each other. This third one, you may not need to come to the front. You may not need a, you know, professional Christian or whatever we're going to call them to help with that. But maybe as you're trying to put on some new things in your life that reflect Jesus, you just need to let someone know, hey, this is what I'm trying to do, and I'm trusting Jesus for it. Would you pray for me? And when you see me go back in the closet and grab that old thing and start to put it back on, would you remind me about that? Remember you gave them permission, especially if it's your husband, wife, or your kids, especially, because they will do it, right? They will come back and go, yeah, you remember that deal you said about anger? Mm-hmm. Freedom comes when things are in the light, and we put our intentions out there. God meets us in that place. And so let me encourage you to do that. But whatever you do, I want to encourage you, if God's spoken to your heart today, do something about it. Don't walk out and forget. Okay? Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for pictures of your grace. God, thank you for your desires for us that are good. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers us to walk in things we couldn't walk in otherwise. Lord, we submit ourselves to you, and we just desire that we reflect you well. God, that we would be effective ambassadors for Jesus Christ. God, as we set our heart on things above, this week, would you use us to advance your kingdom? Would you use us to help people be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Would you use us to help people find freedom? God, start with us. The places we're bound, the places things are still lurking, God. Help us put those things to death. Help us to strip off things that are the old and to clothe ourselves with the new. God, I thank you for our family. Lord, in how we talk to each other, interact with each other, would we always point each other back to Jesus? Would we let the peace of Christ rule in every relationship? Make the calls. And Lord, we desire all of this for one reason, and that is to honor you, to make your name famous. Lord, to be your ambassadors, your representatives. Would you do it all for your honor and your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys so much. It was so good to be with you. Hey, do not run out of here. There is Bluebell ice cream and favorite toppings. I brought Butterfingers. They're all crunched up and ready to go. And so we want to spend some time hanging around. I love you. God bless you.